So on the website, as we already went through the overview tab, the third tab over is titled application, has a blue button that you can just click and it will take you straight to our application system. If you're a first time user, you would create an account. I've already created an account that we can use. Give me 1 second, I'll log in. Yep, got that password right. So it takes me to my dashboard. So I work on a variety of programs. So you can see I have an application started in each of them. But for this purpose, I want to come back and try and complete the OLF application that I've started. Please note you can start as many new OLF applications. So one thing that I did not mention is we always get questions of how many of these visiting scholars can we have every year. We try and say, err on the side of 2 in the fall, 2 in the spring, 2 in the summer. So that's about 6 every year. But if you are partnering with local institutions and really creating these robust visits, you can look at having more. But especially starting out, we want you to really focus on building this from the ground up and making sure you feel comfortable and not stressed, because these are supposed to be really fun and enlightening opportunities. So I'm going to go straight into the application that I had already started. It will take you to a landing page. Here is the first question. This is why I keep reminding visiting scholars that you must be a U.S. institution to apply. The first question is, are you applying on behalf of a U.S. institution? If you are not at that U.S. institution trying to apply and you are a visiting scholar, unfortunately, you cannot proceed from here. So I've selected yes. The second question is asking about if you are one of those priority institutions. This pertains currently, we may add another question in the future, but this pertains to your institution. So I'm going to go under the idea that my institution I'm applying from is not one of these, but I am partnering with one of these. So when I clicked none, it pops up with this red warning saying, please make sure you partner. I already knew I'm going to partner. I'm already ahead of the game on this. So I will hit continue. It will then take you to a welcome page walking you through how to submit the application. All of these instructions are also found on our website. So I'm going to hit continue here as well. And then it will take me to my OLF contact page. So when I register an account, I had to register a name. And so as you can see, this is grayed out. I can't backspace it at all. So my name, my first, my last name, and my email are all grayed out because these are associated with your account. Now, in your account, you can change your name, you can change your email, but you have to do that on the account page. So I am the primary host applying. I put in my title, and then I'm pretending I'm from the great state of Texas, located in Houston right now. So I've decided that today I'm applying from the University of Houston. I put in our address. And then I said I did want to add a secondary host institution rather than not. And then I went down and I added that. Oops, sorry, my mouse is deciding to do something else. So I added my partnering institution at Houston Community College, which is just down the road. So from there, I would hit continue. And each of these hyperlinks goes to a different page of the application. So I've already completed who I'm partnering with. So I'm ready to add the scholar information. Now, if you decide to partner with more than one institution, we can add that information on another page. But currently, that host contact information just allows for the two. But we can definitely allow for more partnerships. But those are kind of your primary hosts. So on the scholar information tab, this is the information that you will gather from that scholar as you're planning the logistics. So you would add their first and last name, what country they're from, where they're currently located in the United States, and again, all of this is located on that scholar directory, and then you would get their actual grant end date from the scholar. We do check this on our end, but really it's there so we can make sure that we're not approving grants located in, taking place in the last month, because again, administratively, we just cannot process their payment because they're given their payment after the successful completion of their OLF. So we have to have that month to make sure that the event took place and get that evaluation from you, and then also make sure that their payment does get cleared. And usually it is quite quick, but on occasion sometimes there could be delays. Maybe they didn't have their bank account open, we didn't have their details, stuff like that. So we do ask for that month period to process all payments and close out the awards. Additional information that you'll get from the scholar is their contact details here in the United States as well as their email. So we want to make sure we are on our approval emails. They also get copied on those emails when you do get approved. The next information is very important to Carmel and myself that we will ask on this page for you to put the 3-digit airport code closest to the scholar. Currently, as we are doing these awards, we pull costs based on the travel dates and the locations. So for us to pull an accurate award, we need to know what airport they're coming from, and then on the next page, it will say what airport they're going to. So we just need that code so we can easily pull an itinerary for the scholar. It's not the itinerary the scholar has to book. We do not book the scholar directly. But it's for us to pull an idea and make sure that we are giving an accurate travel award for that scholar and to ensure we're not underpaying them for their travel. And then the proposed travel dates are whatever dates that scholar says they wish to travel. In some cases, the scholar might want to stay in your region for an extra day or two on their own dime, and I always express that because unfortunately this isn't a vacation for them, but if a scholar wanted to stay longer and explore the area on their own, they might ask for you to put in a different date because, as you know, sometimes weekends have more expensive flight fares than a weekday flight. So to the best of your knowledge, if you can put in the travel date that you want us to pull an award based on, that would be wonderful. So the next page, after hitting continue, goes to the lecture information. And this is that key spot for you to really designate what you are requesting if you need supplemental funding. So I took it back to the basic 3 awards questions that you will see, my apologies. And from here, it will populate, auto-populate, depending on how you answer. So the first question is, will your institution be able to provide housing for the scholar, yes or no? Depending on if you hit noted this and the next question, it will populate a new question. The second question that is available is, will your institution be able to provide meals and local transportation? So you may say no to providing housing, but yes, you can pick the scholar up from the airport, and yes, you plan on taking the scholar out to dinner with faculty and staff. The next question that will populate is regarding if you or any of your partnering institutions are priorities. So here it will ask if you are partnering with any, if your institution is priority, if you're partnering with any institution that's priority. So if you are, you'll say yes. So the case of my application being University of Houston and Houston Community College, yes, I am partnering with the community college. The next question that will then auto-populate is, would you like to request supplemental funding for the scholar? We would for that housing. And then it will populate this nice little red warning saying, if you are planning on asking for that supplemental funding, please make sure to put that in your official invitation letter that you'll upload on below on this page. So it's just a note for you. The last question that we need to know, and if things change, please let us know, especially if it pertains to honorarium. But at the time, if you have decided to provide an honorarium, you would list the amount that you are providing. Please note, we'll go over this in a moment. Honorariums are not required. Some, I would say less than 10% of institutions do offer them, but there are some institutions that feel very, sure about offering these, and they feel that it's something that they must do. And so the University of Houston, let's pretend, is offering them, so you would type their name, and it will auto-populate the name, so you'll just have to look for your institution's name here. I have to keep writing. There it is. So I'll say the University of Houston is providing it. Now, let's say Houston Community College was providing it. You'd put the 400 and then Houston Community College below. We just have to, due to their visa, the scholar's visa requirements, know which institution is providing the honorarium and how much, so we can note that in our tracking. Additionally, please also make sure this is noted in that invitation letter. That is very key for us as well. And Carmel will go over that in just a moment of what should be included in those invitation letters. But this is very key for us to have. The next section as you can see, there's no requirement because they could not make this table required, but we do ask you that you add a new event for every unique lecture to institution that is happening. So as you can see in the example, University of Houston's partnered with Houston Community College. The scholar that I have put forth is doing two lectures on the British customs and culture, but one at each institution, so each one is listed. In addition to this lecture at the University of Houston, the scholar is also doing a secondary lecture on their research. So you would add a unique one for every unique lecture to institution. Let's say the scholar was going to conduct this British customs and culture lecture three times in three different class periods on my campus at the University of Houston, I would only list it once for that unique lecture to institution ratio. So when you add a new event, I'm just going to click, what you'll see, we'll just click in so you can see it filled out, it will ask for these fields. You cannot hit save unless all of the fields are filled out, but what is really key is we need that lecture title that you are having, the date of the lecture, the time of the lecture, and again, this is where those airport codes come into play, and the reason it's on each one of these is we do have some scholars, and recently we had one coming to Texas, and then they took another flight going to Louisiana, so you could partner with another institution in another state. So that's why we have the closest airport for each institution, so we can make sure we are sending the scholar to the right airport. And then you'll also note what type of audience this is. If you're partnering with a K-12 school, you'll hit K-12. If it's general public for a community event, that's something that you'll select there. You'll put the contact name and email so we can make sure they are on the approval email as well. And then their address. And once you have submitted all of that, you can hit submit. From there, so my scholar that I am bringing is only doing three lectures. From there, I'm ready to upload my letter. You will have two upload fields, one for your invitation letter. And so I currently just have a blank document here, but Carmel will tell you about what you will need to submit in that invitation letter from each school that's inviting them. There is only one upload field, so if you're partnering with three institutions, gather all the letters, merge them into one PDF, and then upload it. And if you have any questions or need help, let us know. The second item that every application must get from the visiting scholar is this letter from the scholar and the faculty associate. And for this letter, what we have a URL right here that you can click, and I'm going to open it right now. We have a template for you. Effectively, what this is just certifying that the scholar's faculty associate at their current hosting institution in the U.S. knows that the scholar is taking up this enrichment opportunity to come to your university and that they sign off that it's okay. So we just want to make sure that both the visiting scholar and the faculty associate that's responsible for that scholar sign off on this letter. So they can download this letter. They just have to change everything that is yellow, sign it, and then send it back to you to upload to your application. So we want to make that one as easy as possible, and we hope we did. And that's the last thing that you'll upload. From there, you'll hit continue. And this last page, you just have to type your full name. So if it's under your account, like mine, under Sarah Causer, I would type my full name and hit confirm. I'm not going to do that here, but I want to show you the last page that you go to, which is review and submit. If you happen to have missed anything required, it will pop up nicely in red saying you have missed a step. Go back to that page. So as you saw, I did not do my signature, so it's yelling nicely, I guess, at me to go and sign this application. You can also click here to preview your application proof and download it for your record. But once you are done, you'll hit submit, and then this will become a submit option once I actually put that signature in. Again, if anyone has questions, Carmel and I are here to help you out. There will be a tutorial embedded on the OLF website that walks you through this, again, a little bit more in depth. But again, if you have questions, do not hesitate to get me or Carmel on the phone if you run into any problems. Once you submit, it will give you the option to submit more applications, and then you can go back in to access it at any point through your account. Other questions I tend to get are, can multiple people on my institution have an account? Absolutely. You do not have to be the only person on your institution submitting these applications. However, if you want everything to come through your office, perhaps you're serving as a Fulbright Scholar Liaison for your campus and you want to kind of monitor it for consistency, that is more than fine if you want to try and monitor that within your department. Please take care and have a good rest of the day.